everyone. Good morning. So we're going through some psukim that are important to think about of a Rosh Hashanah, aside from the psukim we spoke about last night, the 10, 10, and 10. Those of you who weren't at the shiur, I strongly recommend you listen to the shiur. It's online so you can understand the psukim of Elissa. But we're going to try to focus on the psukim we don't recite. Here, Andy. So can we don't recite during Musaf, but help us get a better sense of Rosh Hashanah. So, after Am Yisrael was exiled for 70 years, they finally returned, but it was a very lethargic and lame return. Only 42,000 Jews returned. Most of the Jews decided to stay in Babel. History sometimes repeats itself. And that hamstrung the second base of Mikdash because only 43,000 people returned. The second base of Mikdash never got traction. The miracles of the first base of Mikdash didn't recur. So it's a very sad moment to be back in Israel. It was a moment of mixed emotions. They had returned. The base of Mikdash was under construction. That process itself was very challenging because, as you know, there was a gap. They started building in the days of Koresh, and then they were halted, and then they had to restart the process 18 years later. There's a lot of terror. A lot of the locals claimed the Jews were imperialists, that they were settlers, they were unfairly, illegally settling the land, they wrote letters of hostility, of anger. It wasn't just sad because of the limited success of the second Beis HaMikdash. It was also sad because though the Jews returned, they had some friends with them. They all had married Persian wives. All the Jews had intermarried with foreign wives. And as much as the leadership, Ezra and Nehemiah, tried to discourage this, they still remain with their Gentile wives. It's a very, very sad moment. And they finally gathered in the public square, and it was Rosh Hashanah time. And they read from the Sefer Torah, Ezra and Nehemiah, and there was a lot of wailing and crying.
And that wailing and crying of the futility, the frustration, coming back and not having all their dreams met, was only augmented because it was Rosh Hashanah. There's a lot of wailing and crying on Rosh Hashanah because of the gravitas and the magnitude of the day. At which point, and I'll just read the pasuk to you, just give me a second, I didn't get a chance to open the Tanakh beforehand. At which point in Nehemiah, Parakhas, Nehemiah tells the people as follows, Vayomer lahem, Ichlu lechu ichlu mashmanim. I want you to eat the nicest meat on Rosh Hashanah. Fat meat, shamein, mishmanim. Ushtu mamtakim. And I want you to drink best wine, sweet wine. And not only that, I don't just want the happiness and the pride to be expressed through your own choice of food. I want you to share it. It should be some communal interaction. How does a Jew express his love for another Jew at that period of history? Mishloach Manos. This is a couple years after Purim. It's not clear when Purim occurs, but Purim occurs sometimes in the 18-year gap between when they started the Beis HaMikdash and when they completed it. It's hard to peg when it occurs, but the Beis HaMikdash has already begun, but it hasn't been completed. So the way of expressing fraternity and communal solidarity is giving Mishloach Manos. It's a sure question. When the Jews give Mishloach Manos? The first time Purim, second time Rosh Hashanah. So deliver Mishloach Manos, the people that don't have. Ki kadosh hayom l'adoneinu. This is a day of transcendence. Kadosh doesn't mean holy. Kadosh means somewhere else. Keep in mind Rosh Hashanah is a day of being somewhere else. Try to take yourself somewhere else. Try to take your mind somewhere else. The worst thing you could do for yourself in Rosh Hashanah is talk and shul. Because there's so many imaginative heights you can reach if you really focus your emotions and your intellect. But if you're constantly talking and chit-chatting with your friends, presumably about non-Rosh Hashanah related things, then you're basically grounding yourself into pettiness and in transience and in day-to-day, not nonsense, but irrelevance. Imagine coming into shul. Davening is going to take a while. Could you imagine coming into shul? It's going to start at 7. And coming into shul and being quiet for 7 straight hours. Davening will be over around 2. Have you ever done that? You ever had 7 hours of silence in your life? You've had a chance to think and talk to Hashem and read something and 7 hours to process what you're going through. If you're constantly running around talking and chit-chatting, obviously you have to say something here or there, you're going to ruin it. You're just going to break it down to 5 minutes here and 20 seconds there and 20 minutes here. So it's a day of Kedusha. Go somewhere else. And here's the key line. Don't be sad. Don't be atzuv. And then he says 5 words, which to me capture everything I spoke about last night, but I didn't get a chance to cite this pasuk, which is why we're talking about it now. Ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschem. Is Rosh Hashanah a day of sorrow, melancholy, morose solemnity? Or is it a day of joy, happiness? It's the second because of the first. It's the latter because of the former. If you're able to understand how enormous this day is, how deep it is, how much strength there is in being an Oved Hashem, what the expectations are of you, how much of this world we have changed, how much of this world we still have to change, what price does that mission exact from us? But what benefit does it provide? It exacts a price, but it provides the benefit of meaning, of eternity, of immortality, of everything in life carries a price tag. If you want to challenge people to higher ground, they'll hate you for it. Anti-Semitism isn't incidental to history. Or they happen to dislike Jews. They happen to dislike us because we're Hashem's people that challenge the world morally and religiously. And no one likes a moral challenge. You'd rather slam your phone in the morning because you don't want to be get up for a minute. You take it out on your phone. You take it out on the alarm clock. We're the alarm clock of history. Do you understand what that day is? It's a microcosm of everything it is to be a Jew. We're looking for Malchus Hashem. We're struggling to defend Him in this world. We suffer the price of that struggle. But this is the day His Malchus extends itself. That is your chedva. The ma'oz. Listen to these words. The oz, the strength, is your chedva. Chedva is a higher level of simcha. Simcha is joy. Chedva is deeper pride, exhilaration, confidence. Something deeper. It's almost ecstatic. Chedvas Hashem, hi ma'ozchem. The chedva of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your strength. Look at those two words, chedva and oz, as a good way to capture the power of this day. Is it a day of oz or chedva? It's the second if you experience the first. If you understand how much oz there is to the day, then you sense the chedva and it comes from Hashem, not because of any personal or even national historical reason like Hanukkah and Pesach. Rosh Hashanah is beyond time. Rosh Hashanah is time. It's when time began. It's not grounded in time. So the Torah doesn't tell us when Rosh Hashanah is. Anyone know when Rosh Hashanah is? We call it Rosh Hashanah. We know that on the first day of the seventh month, we bring some korbanos. The Torah never says, this is the day the world was created. This is the Yom HaMishpat. This is the experience. The Torah never telegraphs it. Because Torah is given to a human audience grounded in time. This is beyond time. Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with time. It's time unlimited. It's when time begins. It's when time is refreshed. It's when time will end. The book ends of time. The book ends of history. So if you understand that oz, then you sense the chedva. Then you sense the joy. That's why in Rosh Hashanah, part of the minhag is to give people presents, and part of the minhag is to give people brachas. Why do people give brachas in Rosh Hashanah? Shana tovah techaseh v'sechaseh l'alta l'chaim davim v'l'shalom. Comes from this pasuk. Give people gifts. So some people give gifts. Obviously you're not going to give a gift to every person you know. Give them a bracha. Shana tovah techaseh v'sechaseh. To create, sometimes when the joy is so strong, you can't contain it, you want to share it. That's one of the human responses to overflowing joy. When you see a good movie, what's the first thing you want to do? See a good play of your team. You want to share it with a friend. We live in the culture of sharing. Right? It's an Android button. An Apple. Share. Because you want to share with people something you're really excited by. Your heart can't contain the excitement. Somehow if you feel that you extend it to other people, then you'll get a better wrap around how meaningful this is to you. That's why we share some of our joy in Rosh Hashanah. So it's a great, great chance, guys. I'm trying to get you guys ready for the chance of your life. Like everything else. Put in a lot of effort, you'll take out incredible amounts of meaning. Put in minimal effort, then it'll pass you by. Have a good day, everyone. Have a good day. Tomorrow's Rashi. Shir is going to be at...